Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, gardeners, or welcome to Gardening Naturally. Beautiful day today, nice temperatures, a little bit of a breeze, which keeps it cooler, overcast, which makes it a really good day to be doing things like transplanting or planting new plants. The temperatures are good. We had rain. Some of you had some disastrous hail. I am so sorry. I know when they talk about hail and they go, it was quarter-sized hail, and they act like it's nothing. Well, my car doesn't appreciate quarter-sized hail. And when they talk about softball-sized hail, I don't care what you're doing. Nobody wants softball-sized hail. So the only consolation in all this is that hail melts. It's just water. So it sort of means you got some rain. I wound up with roughly 2 inches. 2 inches of rain, one and a half over the week. It worked great. I mean, my plants are all green as can be. So that's what I'm looking for. Unfortunately, kind of disappointed this year. My big tooth maple, which has been in the ground for years, is dead. I don't know what happened. It never grew very large. It only had like a, it may only have been an inch and a half in diameter or trunk. They are slow growing anyway, but come out every spring and see new growth and every fall pretty orange. Not this year. Gonna have to pull it out. And I actually lost a Yaupon holly. That to me is amazing. They are nearly indestructible. They are true, healthy Texas natives. Not this one. So I have one of those to remove. The rest of my plants, they're doing pretty good. Spent the day digging up a bunch of bulbs in a garden bed because I'm going to transplant them. I'm going to put them somewhere else. This garden bed is going to be converted back to plain turf. Well, I planted 20 bulbs in that bed originally. Yeah, 20 bulbs maybe. And so I start to dig them up. And I get a 5-gallon bucket full. They had multiplied so much. And they were schoolhouse lilies. I have a zillion of these things now. Got to find a place to put them. They're just kind of little green things growing out of the ground until they bloom. And they have these beautiful red bells on them that hang down. They're gorgeous. They're native. They don't require much care. They're tough as nails. I got a bucket load of them now that I got to find places to plant. Now, I also have an iris bed. And I planted it in the first couple years, lots and lots of irises. But I didn't separate them. I just let them keep growing, and they got in there so dense and so tight that they quit blooming. Plenty of green leaf, plenty of pretty green leaf on them, but no blooms. But this year, the outer edges of the bed, the irises that are as far away from the center as possible, they exploded. I got a whole bunch of them all at once. They are looking beautiful. And I think they're trying to tell me something. that I need to get out there and separate them. They're wanting me to take care of them. So they gave me a great display this year, and I really appreciate it. But I got work. I need to pull them up and separate them. Let's go to the phone. This is Willie. Willie, what can I help you with?
Hi. I'm concerned about the cicadas that are coming. I have quite a few small trees in my yard, and I understand that they can cause damage. And so I wanted to ask if I should be concerned about that, and if I am concerned about it, how can I protect my small trees?
First off, I wouldn't be concerned about it. Okay? Cicadas, I have not found anything to... Hello? Can you hear me? Willie, I don't know what happened there. I can't hear you. I started to hear you, and you apparently can't hear me. Can you call me back and we'll answer? I think he wanted to talk about... I think you want to talk about cicadas. I haven't seen anything that says cicadas are dangerous to your plants. They're dangerous to your eardrums because they can just go on and on and on when they're singing. But the reality is cicadas are not a serious issue. And if you look at a map, the press does this, and we shouldn't really be surprised. Oh my gosh, we're going to have a bazillion cicadas. No, we're not. If you look at a map that lists where the biggest suspected output of cicadas are, Central Texas isn't on that map. We may get a few cicadas. We do every year. But Central Texas is not cicada heaven. They're not going to overwhelm us. I mean, we have worse outbreaks of crickets than we do of cicadas. I don't know how long some of you have lived here, but we have had years where, oh my gosh, you would not step outside. Because it smelled so bad. There were so many crickets dying. Cars were having accidents because they couldn't stop on the cicadas after they ran over them. It was slippery. And I was here in, when did we have that? 88, 89, where we had so many crickets. Out at Bergstrom Air Force Base, we couldn't fly our jets because when you would start up a jet, it would suck up so many crickets. They were inches thick on the ground. It would suck up so many crickets that it would damage the engines. It was disgusting, and it smelled so bad. But cicadas... No, that's not going to be our problem. And I'm from the Midwest where we would get mayflies. We call them shadflies. They only live like 24 hours. There are videos of them breaking out where I live, and you can't see. There are so many that all you can see is the cloud of them. We're not going to be in that situation with cicadas. So I wouldn't get excited about it. Folks, I got to take a quick break here. I want to talk about the cicadas a little more when we get back. I'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's head back to the phone. Willie, hey, you're back. What can I help you with?
Hey, Jeff. I think you already answered my question. It was about the cicadas and whether I should protect the young trees. I had read that they burrow into the bark of young trees that have the diameter of about a pencil and lay their eggs in there, and that it could be damaging. But I think you answered my question when you said that Central Texas is not an area of concern to be overwhelmed with cicadas.
Right. And there's another thing here. There is an insect in Central Texas called a cicada killer. It is probably one of the biggest wasps. It looks like a wasp. It's probably one of the biggest ones you've ever seen. And they fly and they grab a cicada and paralyze it. And then they dig a hole into the ground. They stuff the cicada in the hole and they lay eggs on it. I mean, that's quite a vicious way to die, but nature is really brutal. So more than likely, if you start seeing holes in your soil, and they're not tiny, they're as big around as if you pushed your thumb into the ground, that is probably what happened. You had a cicada killer captures a cicada and use it to breed new young cicada killer. They're going to show up a lot this time of the year anyway. We don't get a ton of cicadas, but we do get the cicada killers. As for them burrowing into young trees, you should be fine. You should be fine. The cicadas that are coming out of the ground, by the way, now, they're going to be eaten. Our worst problem with cicadas in Central Texas is your dog goes out and eats a bunch of them, comes in the house and decides to give them all back on your carpet, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. Okay, so, well, thanks a lot. That saves me a lot of money. I was doing some research on cicada nets, and they're quite expensive. So you've relieved.
And they're a pain to use. They work, but they're a lot of trouble to use. We're not going to get destroyed by them.
But thank you very much. I love your show.
Thanks for the call, Willie. Yeah, folks. The press went, oh, it's cicada invasion time. But if you actually look at the maps of where the cicadas are coming up, that ain't us. We're going to get cicadas, but not in the numbers that they're talking about. And really, the worst problem with them is your dog eating them, and then the dog gives them back to you. It's just, bleh. Do we have other issues that we really need to worry about? Yeah. Cicadas aren't one. Even like Willie was talking about, he's got new trees. It's unlikely they're going to cause any kind of damage to it. At least not fatal damage. Can they burr into a tree to lay their egg? Yeah. But that doesn't kill the tree. So it's good to be informed. It's good to be prepared. But I don't think this is going to be apocalyptic bug invasion. That'd be kind of cool, though, wouldn't it? We have plenty of other things that we have to deal with in the garden. Don't really think this is going to be this is not going to be the disaster we think it is. I get some questions here, and a lot of you may be experiencing this. I find it kind of impressive if you don't have the Turk's cap, if you had a Turk's cap and it hasn't come back yet, that's unusual. They're industrious. They are super tough. They're kind of hard to get rid of because of the way they set their roots. If you had one and it hasn't come up yet, I'd have a little more patience yet. Okay? Cut off all the dead shoots from last year. You want to trim it to the ground. Those shoots are not going to turn green again. Salvias, yeah, they can look pretty ragged. You may want to trim them back. The salvia should still be there. It's not like it froze to the ground and was destroyed. Salvias make it through the year. You will find a woody stump yet of your salvia. Check the branches on it. Are they supple? Do they break right off? Is there any green underneath the bark? You're going to find that you can trim off all the dead and ugly, and it will produce new growth. Salvias are too tough. If they've been in the ground all of last year, even in the drought, they should be coming back this year. And it could be simply a matter of patience. Trim back your Turk's cap if you didn't cut off the spikes that were there last year. Once you trim all that off and you look underneath where the crown was, you should see some new leaves coming up. I have almost 2 foot high Turk's cap right now. It's getting bigger. It's getting ready to bloom. That was after cutting it flush, and it took it 3 weeks to grow back that much. It's been a really aggressive grower. It's been growing there for almost 20 years. So it's a well-established plant. But I do have new ones in other places on my property where they're just now coming up. So don't give up on them yet. Don't give up on these guys. Have some patience. And if they never do show up and you want to replace them, you can get by with a lot of salvias throughout the year. Replace your salvia with new ones. Turk's cap, you would probably be fine if you waited till fall. But the clue is the nursery selling the Turk's cap now? Because if the nursery is selling Turk's cap, it's probably a good time to plant it. They don't want to sell you a plant that you got to store for 6 months before you can put it in the ground. So consider that when you're out shopping for it. That also means if you go out shopping for a plant and the nursery isn't carrying it right now, you can always ask. But it's probably because it's out of season. They may not have a grower. It may be a bad time to plant it. But if the nursery has the plant, odds are it's a good time to plant it. Even in the middle of summer. Even in the middle of summer. Salvia and Turk's cap can handle some pretty intense weather. But if you're not seeing yours yet, take a deep breath. Give it a little more time. It's only April. It may not show up till May for you. If it doesn't show up by May, say middle of May, you need to consider getting new ones. Now, had a lot of people asking about fertilizing and the heavy rain we got. It probably did not wash it away. Dry fertilizers are designed to melt in the water. They basically take the rain and turn it into a solution that leaches into the ground, exactly how it's supposed to go. If you had super bad runoff, you probably got a little fertilizer to the neighbor. Not a big deal. Folks, got a break for the news.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Excuse me. One of the nice things about the weather, I guess, is the rain washed out most of the allergens. So now we only have to deal with mold, right? Oh, well, we have really good weather coming. And even though we've had a pretty decent spring, all right, we're hoping to get more consistent rain, a lot more rain in May, because that tends to be a rainy month for us. But the weather's been pretty decent. Even so, if you have some plants that haven't come up yet and that normally do, and they haven't made an appearance, patience first. There is no set calendar date where you go, nah, I give up. Sorry, there isn't. It just depends on what your efforts are going to be. You hear Colleen, she'll talk about, she goes till May 15th. If the plant hasn't made an appearance by May 15th, you can probably pretty much consider that it's not going to. I agree with that. We have had good weather and we've had sufficient rain, but plants work on their own schedule. They'll show up when they decide to show up. We can be mad about it and we can worry about it, but before you all are going out there and digging stuff up, have some patience. You may get pleasantly surprised. I'll give you a seed example. We planted sunflowers behind our tomatoes. Behind it, meaning if I'm looking at the tomato, the sunflower is growing on the other side of the cage. That's been a month ago, and it appears I had really bad sunflower seeds. Or the local squirrel came by and dug them up and ate them. Equal opportunity there. Not sure which one is the real one. But I think that after a month, they should have germinated and started to appear by now. But they haven't. In the same breath, I planted moonflower vine. It hasn't showed up either, same number of days, but it shouldn't. So I have to give it more time. And you know, I've commented that I'm growing the Aunt Molly's ground cherry. It took 3 weeks for the first little green shoot to come up. And after all this time, it's been 6 weeks since they germinated. Guess what? They are less than 2 inches tall. They are growing so slow. It's really, I can't figure out if there's something wrong or this is just the growth pattern of that particular plant. All of the plants are like that. One may show up really quickly and do great things early in the spring, and another one can be like, no, man, I was having a good nap. I'm not quite ready to get going yet. Patience can go a very, very long way. It can go a long way in your garden. But at some point, you got to pick a limit. You got to go, yeah, no, I'm not going to waste time anymore. But I would say, like I said, there is no set calendar date. But if you have the patience and it hasn't appeared by the middle of May, yeah, it ain't going to appear. It ain't going to appear. It's going to be frustrating, and you can look at replacing it. And in the middle of the May, in the middle of May, you want to replace it. The clue will be is if a nursery is selling the plant you want to replace in the middle of May, it is probably an appropriate time to plant it. There can always be better times. Fall is usually better because it's not so hot. But if the nursery is selling the plant, you should be able to make the assumption that it can be planted at this time. So if you've got those plants that they're just not showing up yet, you can go and start checking out the nurseries to see if they're carrying it. And if it just gives up and you just can't take it anymore by the middle of May, if it's not there, yeah, maybe you need to replace it if you really wanted that plant. Now, I just dug up a boatload of bulbs, a bucket load, I should say, of bulbs for schoolhouse lily. And if I were to plant them today, they're okay with being planted today. It may be a week, or it may be a month before I see new green shoots. Plants operate on their own schedule. They don't care about yours. So patience can go a long way in determining what's going on with your trees or veggies or flowers or roses or name the plant. We want it to show up quickly, but it's going to do its growth when it wants to. This is a good time of the year. I'm really disappointed. To make sure you have a lot of blooming plants. Because we have a lot of pollinators that are hatching out right now that are going to be looking for food. And that's the best thing you can do is blooming flowers. I know that my hummingbirds love my salvia and my Texas betony. I see them there every day. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I need to take a quick break. I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Velma. Velma, what can I help you with?
Hi, good morning, Jeff. I live in Elgin, and I bought a dwarf Beaufort holly, and I have some gardenias. I want to put them in the ground, but I also bought some cow manure and compost soil. Should I use that? to amend my soil?
You're not going to hurt anything by doing that. Let's say you dig out a 5-gallon bucket worth of soil to make the hole. You can put in about 1/3 of that amount in the compost and blend it into the soil that you dug out when you go to plant the plant. One thing about the gardenias, they really want decent drainage. Buford holly is much more forgiving, but those gardenias really want a soil that drains really well. So if you dig out a bunch of muck or a bunch of clay, you can put in more of that compost to ensure that the soil will drain well, and the gardenias will love you for it.
Mm-hmm. And so the cow manure with the compost is not going to hurt it.
Did you get like cow manure by itself, or it's cow manure compost?
Cow manure compost.
Nope, won't hurt it. Won't hurt
right.
it. But don't overdo it.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much.
You bet, Velma. Thank you for the call. Yeah, folks, listen. You have to think about where compost actually occurs on the soil. When you dig a hole, compost is usually from leaves and other organic matter that has fallen on the soil and breaks down. So that means it's in the top couple of inches. And it's not an all compost hole. You can remove some soil, especially if it's poor soil, like lots of rocks in it or lumps of clay, and you can replace those with compost of up to about 1/3, right? To improve the soil quality, as in, I need it to drain, or I pulled out a bunch of rocks, I just need soil. You will do just as well to dig the hole. Set the soil aside, get your plant in there, put all the soil you dug out back in the exact same hole. Notice I haven't added anything yet. After you've done that, top dress the hole with the compost, because that's where compost arrives. It is the organic matter on the surface that is being broken down, and it is leaching the nutrients into the soil like you want it. So don't overdo refilling a hole unless it is for the purpose of trying to get the drainage you are looking for. Or if you dug the hole and you had too much stuff you had to pull out of it, now you're short of soil. Then you can blend in some compost. But you would do much better to dig the hole, maintain all the soil you dug out, put your plant in, put the soil back, and put compost on top, maybe up to an inch thick layer, because that's how it occurs in nature. Let's go to the phone. This is Lee. Lee, what can I help you with?
Yes, I got some knockout roses that are at the tips, like in sections. It's like turning real red, the branches and everything. I YouTubed it, and the lady was telling me, saying that I should go ahead and just take it from the roots and destroy it and get rid of it. But this knockout is about 8 feet tall, and I don't want to do that. What should I do? She said I have...
Are all the places that are red new growth?
Oh, I didn't think about that. It could be. Yeah.
Because new growth on roses can be this gorgeous color of red. I wish they were always that color. But new growth,
yeah.
I don't think the lady that gave you that or that had that information was talking about the same problem you have. If you have new growth, if the plant is growing, if the rest of it looks happy, those new leaves can be blood red. The stems can look like that. I don't think you're having a problem.
Okay, now you just made me a happy person. I think you hit it right on the nail. I agree with you. It is kind of like a little soft right now, like the new growth, the stems.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you got one more rose.
Go ahead. I got one more question on, you got a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. On my other knockout, I get a lot of aphids, and I go out there with soap and water. Is there anything else I can do?
You may be over-fertilizing the rose. When you give it too much fertilizer, it gets new growth, and the leaves are tender and fleshy, and that's the kind of thing that the aphids want to eat. Number two, we talked earlier on the show about beneficial insects. You can get beneficial insects that will help tackle the aphids for you so that you don't have to spray anything on them. The bugs will eat them.
They won't harm the roses?
Nope.
Okay. Then I just leave them alone, man, because I did see a ladybug there, and I kind of chewed the ladybug away because I didn't want to soap and water the ladybug.
Yeah, if you've got ladybugs on there, you already have beneficial insects coming in trying to help you out. And I bet see that you have more than ladybugs on there. It's the right time of the year where you'll start seeing green lacewings, which are super duper vacuum cleaners in getting rid of aphids. So good guys will start showing up.
Just thank you so much. I'm glad I called you and talked to you because I didn't want to destroy that 8-foot knockout rose.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Lee, thank you for the call. Hope you have good luck with this. Folks, this has been Gardening Naturally. Coming up to the top of the hour and the end of the show. However, I will talk to you all again tomorrow morning at 8:00. And you should go outside today and enjoy the day. And gardening can be just going out and walking around in the garden. Folks, I'll see you tomorrow.